Well, good morning, all. Good to see everybody here today. Glad you're with us. Hope you're having a wonderful day. We're off to a good beginning, I think. If you're familiar with the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark, both Matthew and Mark speak about the crowds that came to hear Jesus and describe them as sheep without a shepherd. That's, you know, kind of a graphic way of talking about a group of people who are just aimless and milling around. They don't have much purpose, really don't have any idea what they're doing or where they're going. And Jesus spoke to people like that. They needed to hear some of the things that he had to say. And we kind of sympathize with that, even if we're not shepherds. We talked a little bit about that in the Bible class this morning. Even if we don't work as shepherds or know too much about sheep, we can still understand the picture of people who are just kind of milling around and not real sure what they're supposed to do or where they're supposed to go next. Seems like we see a lot of that in our world too. People just milling around, not really understanding what they're supposed to do or where they're supposed to go. Seems like there's a lot of anxiety in our country. We just realize that people are anxious about the economy and they're anxious about politics. And they're anxious about the environment, and they're anxious about foreign governments and all the things that they might do or might not do. There are always new crises and new dangers that just have to be addressed right now. And they're just so tremendously important, and they keep people in a state of excitement most of the time. I picked up an old book off my shelf earlier this week. This is it, How to Get Control of Your Time and Your Life by Alan Lake. Anybody read the book? Okay, it was famous. See, you haven't missed a thing, right? I'll tell you everything that's in the book right now. What he says is you need to take care of the important things first and intentionally neglect the things that you shouldn't be doing at all. He wrote a whole book about that. You know, a pretty simple idea, actually, but it really, really works and is good for us to be reminded of from time to time. I started thinking about doing the most important things in life, and I think that's exactly what Jesus was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. As he's standing there in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we've read these passages and understand the things that Jesus has said, but he's talking to people who are aimless, they don't really know what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to live, and he talks to them about getting first things first, about making sure that they're taking care of the most important parts of life, especially in this passage in Matthew 6, verses 19 to 34. This is right in the middle of the sermon. If you'd like to go ahead and turn there, we're going to spend all of our time this morning dealing with Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. It's a familiar passage. You've read it. You already know what the verses say. You've heard sermons, you've heard Bible classes about this before, but it's good for us to be reminded from time to time about getting first things first. And Jesus points out that the proper focus of our lives is to get first things first. Really, I think the warhead of this section, kind of the arrowhead on it, is verse 33. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you as well. I really think that that's what Jesus is getting to in all this, and there are really two parts to that. The first part is to seek first His kingdom. You want to get first things first, you want to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Read with me verses 19 to 24, and we'll just talk about this idea for a few minutes as Jesus brings this up to this crowd of people who have clustered around to hear words of life from Him. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, at first blush, you might think, well, those are kind of disconnected statements. Jesus seems to be scattergunning just a whole lot of different ideas there, but they're really not different at all. He still focused on this idea of seeking first the kingdom. See, everybody has treasures. You have treasures in your life. Little children have favorite stuffed animals that they carry with them. They carry them everywhere. And sometimes their parents wish they wouldn't carry them everywhere, but it's a treasure to the child. He really, really needs that. But we never really outgrow that. We still have our treasures, and we carry our treasures with us wherever we go and whatever we do. A couple of years after my father died, my mother, all of us were gathered there in the house for some holiday or something, and my mother brought out a shoebox that my dad had and opened the shoebox, just an ordinary old cardboard shoebox. You open it up, and these were my dad's treasures. And she said, "Is there anything in there that any of you want? You should take it." And we pawed through there and looked at it. And the things that were in that shoebox were the artifacts of my father's life. They were things that were really, really important to him. They were not important to anyone else. They just weren't. They were remembrances of his military career. They were remembrances of particular jobs that he had held. There were some broken wristwatches and pocket knives that had significance for him from his past. They were very important to him. They were his treasures. They really didn't have significance to the rest of us. And I realized that my dad had moved. I mean, some of those things stretched all the way back before his marriage. My dad had treasures in that box that he had moved throughout our lifetime, several different places in Oklahoma. We lived in Colorado and California and Washington State and Nebraska. And he moved those over and over and over and over and over and kept those treasures because they were artifacts of his life. They really were the artifacts of his life. Now, I want you to just think about that for a moment. Everybody has their treasures. What are the artifacts of your life? What are the remembrances of your life? Jesus says, don't store up those remembrances of your life on earth. They'll vanish. They'll be blown away. They mean nothing. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Make sure that the artifacts of your life are spiritual artifacts that will last into eternity. What are the treasures of your life? You have them. I have them. Everybody has them. Everybody has treasures. Everybody has values, too. Everybody has things that they think are important. They understand some good and some evil in life. They have ways of thinking about things. Jesus talks about the eye as the lamp of the body. It's the thing that illuminates you. If you think that the good that you have, the light that is in you, actually is evil, if the light that you think is light is really bad, then you're in a bad way. You've got a terrible situation if all your values are really worthless. I don't know if you recognize this picture. This is Linda Tucker. You know about Linda Tucker? You've been reading about Linda Tucker. You've been reading for a couple of weeks about Linda Tucker. 15-year-old girl. Went to a family reunion with her mother and her brother and her mama's boyfriend. And her mama's boyfriend injected meth into her neck. 10 times the lethal dose of meth. Where'd he get it? Well, it turns out upon investigation, if you've been reading the news stories, her 17-year-old brother dipped into his inheritance to the tune of $700 and gave it to Mama's boyfriend to go buy drugs so they'd all have some meth to do at the family reunion. And they went out there and Mama did it and boyfriend did it and brother did it. And then he gave her an injection 10 times the lethal dose of speed in her neck. But what was her brother doing? Well, she's dying. What's he doing? He is taking cell phone pictures of her to show her how goofy she's acting right after she comes down from this. They realize she's in distress, piled her in the back of the SUV, and took her to the convenience store where she died. Now they're all facing murder charges. Now here's the amazing thing, folks. They thought that was a cool, smart, and funny thing to do. That was their value set. They thought that was a cool, smart, and funny thing to do. That family's a mess. because all of their values are evil. Boy, if the light within you is darkness, how dark is that darkness? Do you have values? Do you understand good and evil? Do you realize how you should live? Everybody has values. These people thought that was cool, smart, and funny to kill her. Oh, they didn't really intend to kill her. They were just going to do some drugs. But these little things happen, don't they? Everybody has treasures. Everybody has values. Everybody has a number one priority in life. What is the number one thing that you think everything else takes a back seat to? That's the one guiding principle of your life. Jesus says no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other. He'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't do two things. You have one guiding principle in life. That's what the philosophers used to call the summum bonum. It's always more impressive if you do it in Latin, right? The summum bonum, the highest good in life. What's your number one priority? Everybody's got one. Most people don't think about it very much. But if you watched them for a little while and talked to them, you'd realize the number one priority in life is me. You know, I'm number one. I take care of me all the time. So everybody has a number one priority in life, the thing that everything else takes a back seat to. What is the most important principle of your life? The absolute number one thing that everything else is going to take a back seat to, because you see, everybody has this. Everybody has treasures. Everybody has values. Everybody has a number one priority in life, and Jesus says you better choose wisely. You better seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. See, that's going to be the kind of treasures that are truly treasured. Those will be the values that are actually valuable, and that'll be a priority in life that will carry you forward into eternity itself. You want to make sure you choose wisely. Everybody has these things. Make sure you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. What will be the artifacts of your life? At the end of the day, 2 years after your funeral, when your family gathers together, what will they say are the artifacts of your life? What did you leave behind? What will you leave behind? What will your values be? You understand good and evil? You realize how to work with that and how to have values that are truly valuable and a priority that will really operate in your life? Jesus says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And you know what? The good thing is everything flows naturally from there. And all these things will be given to you as well. Let's pick up in verse 25. Read down through verse 34. It says, therefore I tell you, after a little discussion here, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, could add a single hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothes? You see how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. We will actually have enough. We really will have enough. And Jesus talks about the birds. Now, the birds are not goofing off out there, are they? They're working. They're doing the best they can. They're busy every day doing bird kind of stuff. They're just being birds, and God takes care of them. And Jesus' message is, if you do what you're supposed to do, God will take care of you too. You have a lot more control over your environment than the birds have over their environment. God takes care of them. You do what you're supposed to do, God will take care of you as well. Just do what you're supposed to do. Be out there, be busy, you know. Everything will work for you. God will take good care of you. I read the other day, you probably saw this report about the wealthiest people in the United States of America. I read the other day that Bill Gates is still number one out there. He's got more money than anybody else in the United States. He's got $50 billion, that's with a B, $50 billion. You can't imagine how much money that is. $50 billion. Let me try to put it in a little perspective for you. If you had $50 billion and you wanted to give away, you make a gift, you're going to give away $1 million a day, you would absolutely run out of money after only 137 years. That's what $50 billion looks like. He got a lot of money, and I don't care. That's real nice for him. My question for him is, do you have enough? Are you content? He probably is. I can hardly imagine that he's not, but maybe he's content, maybe he's not. They said about John D. Rockefeller, he didn't want all the money, he just wanted $1 more. He was never content. Let me tell you something. I don't know how much money you've got, it doesn't matter. If you've got enough to be content, you are rich. You've got enough. And the Lord says, if you do what you're supposed to do, God will take care of you. You will have enough. Now, it doesn't say that He'll give you anything you can imagine. He's not going to make you live in the lap of luxury. He just says you're going to have enough. You're going to have food to eat. Isn't that great? You seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. He'll make sure that you have enough. And He'll make sure you look fine, too. You're going to look fine. Okay, maybe this guy is not exactly a fashion plate. Jesus says, yeah, look at the lilies. You know, they grow up. It's just grass. God takes enormous pleasure in the lilies. They look great, don't they? They look just like lilies ought to look. He says, not even Solomon in all his finery was dressed like these. It's grass. It's grass. All right? The grass does what it's supposed to do, it looks great. If you do what you're supposed to do, you'll look great too. You know, one of the things that's kind of fascinated me is, about 10 years ago, the fashion industry. I tried to find out how much money we spend on fashion in the United States, and I couldn't get a reasonable answer from anybody. U.S. government, nobody seems to have a good answer for this. But I do remember that like 10 years ago, the big deal in fashion, ladies had to have the $1,000 handbag. They wanted $800 shoes. He had all these incredible excess. He had to have all this finery. You know what the fashion is today with the economic downturn? It's frugality. How cheap can you get? The people standing around, they don't stand around the water cooler and say, I spent $1,000 for this handbag. No, they say, I got it for $8 at the dollar store. And they enjoy that. That's the big fashion now. It's all about frugality, saving the money, okay? Who cares? Who cares? See, that's not really the important thing. You'll look fine. You'll look fine. We really don't have to have highly expensive clothes, big fancy car, and on and on and on and on and on. You don't really need that. You need to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. You'll have enough. And you'll look just fine. You'll look just fine. Everything, even a guy like that, you know, you just look fine. It's okay. The wonderful thing is when you can live free from other people's opinions. You know the rap stars went out and they got those grills, you know, they got all that gold in their teeth. You think they did that because it felt so good? Do you think they liked the way that felt? I don't think so. You think they did it because they really needed their teeth straightened? No. They did it so that other people would go, wow, look at that. He's got a real shiny face. It doesn't matter. Okay. Can you be free of other people's opinions? If you don't care if your clothes match or not. Sid and I were talking about our suits this morning. He's got on a blue suit and a black tie. Anybody care? Who cares? He looks fine. He looks fine. We need to be free from other people's opinions. If we seek first the kingdom, we'll have enough, we're going to look fine, and we'll actually be able to live today. This is a picture of Blaise Pascal, a French mathematician, probability theorist, philosopher, somewhat theologian. Interesting guy in a lot of ways. He was talking about people who are always expecting to be happy later. They're looking, you know, when I get to this point in my life, when my business is a success, or when my children are educated, when my children are grown and gone, you know, whatever, then I'm going to be happy. When my business is in good shape, I'll be happy then. People are always looking forward. They do the same thing today. When my children are educated, when they're out of the house, when my house is paid for, when my cars are paid for, I'll be happy then. When I'm retired, I'll be happy then. It's always somewhere in the future. Pascal said, thus we never live. We only hope to live. And continually preparing to be happy, it is inevitable that we never will be. And he's right. You can't just spend your life preparing to be happy. If you are content with what you have, if you are at peace, if you look fine, if you're okay with other people's opinions and you really don't care how much they love you, worship you, respect you, honor you, and so on, if you're free of other people's opinions, you really have a level of peace and contentment within you that will allow you to live today. You don't have to wait for something else to make you happy, help you to be happy. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So Jesus says, look, just trust God on this. Just trust God on this. Here you are. We're all sitting here this morning. We've had something to eat if we wanted it. I feel sure that if you wanted to have something to eat, you did before you came in. We're all dressed. Thank you. Yeah, we're all dressed. We're all here. You've got enough food to eat. And God did that for you today, right? He gave you something to wear, gave you something to eat, brought you here safely. We're all gathered. God took care of you today. Do you trust God to do that again tomorrow? What do you think? You think He could do that tomorrow? That's what Jesus is demanding of us. Just trust God to do it again tomorrow. He'll do it again tomorrow. You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. He'll do it again tomorrow. I really think that this is what Jesus is talking about in John 10:10 when He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it to the full or have it more abundantly. That's what it's about. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and then trust Him. It's all going to work out just fine. Just trust Him on this. It's all going to work out just fine. You know, we got these voices on all sides calling for us. Buy this, do this, come here, go there. I never realized how many food ads there are on television. Think about this. You're going to be ruined now for watching TV. Watch and see how many food ads there are. And I don't just mean Sonic and McDonald's. I mean, there are a lot of local restaurants that are advertising on the TV begging you to come and buy their food. Yet over and over and over, you've got these voices calling, come here, buy this, eat here, buy this car. You have to have this car. You'll be happy if you buy the car. Buy the car. Everything will be good in your life. They appeal to your sense of happiness or of responsibility. Go green. You got to go green now. Turn those lights out. Cut your water usage. Go green. Cut that gasoline usage and your CO2 emissions. Hold your breath. Whatever it takes. Cut your CO2 emissions, you know. But as if somehow that's going to make you a superior person. Is it going to make you a better person to do that? All these voices clamoring at you all the time, and Jesus says, get your first things first. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That's the most important thing. Get your first things first. You're not going to become a good person or a happy person by having more stuff or different stuff. That's not going to do it. The most important thing is to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. I read an article this past week about a doctor in Chicago, a physician. He and his wife, who's also a physician, the two of them make something like $350,000 a year, and they just can't make ends meet. They just can't get by on $350,000 a year. It's really, really tough for them. And the guy who was writing the article started writing. He had some advice for them about how to change their lives. But the first thing he said is, you need to change your attitude about your needs and your wants. Okay, didn't mom and dad try to tell you that too? You need to change your attitude about needs and wants. We kind of understand that. You need to understand the difference between needs and wants. It's really true of us too. What is it that you need? You know what you really need? You really need forgiveness of your sins. Because you can't pay them off. You can't repay. So you need forgiveness of your sins. You know what else you need? You need to be changed so that you're not that kind of person anymore. You need to be transformed to be like Jesus. This is what we really need to make us the right kind of people. We need to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That's the bottom line. It doesn't get any more basic than that. We need to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And if we do that, everything else is going to be fine too. You've got to get first things first. I don't know what your spiritual condition is this morning. I know what it needs to be. If you're not a Christian, we're going to sing an invitation song and give you an opportunity to commit your life to Jesus. He is the wisest, the noblest, the best, the most loving and compassionate character ever to appear on the face of the earth. There is nobody you would rather be like than Jesus of Nazareth. He's the entire package. He is everything that you want to be in your best and finest moments. And He urges you to come to Him because you believe He's the Son of God, in your faith, to confess His name before men, to repent of sin, stop doing the wrong thing, start doing the right thing in its place, start living like Him, to imitate Him in His death and His burial and resurrection from the dead by being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. You can do that today and begin this process of being everything that you're supposed to be, getting first things truly first, and then trusting Him to go with you day by day. If you're not a Christian, we're going to sing an invitation song, give you an opportunity to do that. Now, if you are a Christian, you've made the covenant with Christ in the past, you know what I'm talking about there, but you really haven't lived with Him and haven't lived for Him, and you've been listening to all these conflicting voices that are dragging you off, telling you, buy this, you'll be happy then. You won't. Come over here and eat at this restaurant. You'll be happy then. You won't. You need to repent. Stop listening to those voices. They have nothing to offer you. Listen to Jesus. Jesus says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then trust God to deliver everything that you really need with your life. That's the way to live, and that's getting first things first. If you need to respond publicly to Jesus' invitation, we urge you to do it right now while we stand together and sing the invitation song.